Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
To talk Browns football, hard pivot. To talk Browns football, not sister kissing. We've got Nick Shook of NFL Network on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Nick, welcome to the show.
You know, I was wondering what the hell I just walked into, but it went long enough that I kind of figured out what you guys were discussing. So I have one question for all of you, which is this. The next time an NFL game ends in a tie, are we going to transition to saying, it's like getting drafted in the NBA?
I don't hate it. I don't hate it. If we're normalizing kissing your sister on the lips, then I think so. There, Nick.
All right, I'm good with it.
All right, so...
But the record show, ties are also not sexual.
Right. Nick, is Kenny Pickett closer to starting week one or being cut or traded by the Browns?
Starting week one. I know it might not excite a lot of fans every time I run into somebody who wants to talk about this. They always insert Shador into the conversation. I think he is closer to starting than getting cut. And he's definitely, when they first acquired him, I believe that the process would leave him as the guy to get traded. And now that we've gotten to this point in the offseason, it seems as though he is the favorite to win the job. Now, of course, we have all of training camp to work through to really get to that point, but as much as people in this town love Joe Flacco for what he did for six or seven games a couple of seasons ago, I think the most likely option to start this season is Kenny Pickett, unless one of those rookies rises up and takes the job from him. And it seems like through minicamp and OTAs, neither of them did enough to make people believe that that's a possibility as of now, but we have the whole camp, so that's why I think Kenny's got a much better shot to start than anything else.
Nick, what do you make of the idea that so many different people believe, and listen, we've had people say Kenny Pickett, we've had people say Joe Flacco, we've had people say Dylan Gabriel, we've had people say just about everyone you can think of, but like they all quote these people inside the building or different players that they've talked to. I'm hearing so many different quarterbacks. I don't know what to believe now, Nick.
I think that's the allure of it, and that might be part of the intent, if you think about it. The idea that there is no favorite right now and that there is a wide-open camp competition allows the Browns to remain coy and then forces people like us in the media to seek out players. And those player opinions could also be driven by who they favor because of personality, because of personal relationship. There are a lot of different factors here. So until we get to the point where we get to a preseason game, that's the first time we're really going to know how things stand. And that could change by week. There's been quarterback competitions in the past. I think about Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell, where they rotated who got the first snaps with the first team in a preseason game. So this is going to be a thing that we deal with for a while. I know it is late June. We're going to be talking about this in late July. We're going to be talking about this in late August, right before cut down day. It's going to be something we talk about for the next 2 months. And I think that's kind of the beauty of a camp competition, is that all these guys really do have a shot. It's just that we're not going to glean any real information unless you're there watching every rep every day. And then even then, it comes down to your own personal opinion. So ultimately, the decision is Kevin Stefanski's, but fortunately for him, he's got, you know, a couple months to sift through it all before making a decision.
Nick, I know you just put out your ranking each division by quarterback heading into the 2025 NFL season rankings. I'm not going to spoil anything for people because they can read the whole thing there on NFL.com. How much did the Browns tank the standing of the AFC North when the AFC North has Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow?
So much that I got angry tweets about it, or despondent tweets about it. So much that when I calculated the numbers, because I decided to throw a little math in it based on my final QB index ranking from last year, to just a bit of a scientific approach to it, to get away from all the narratives and, you know, the reputations and the hype and everything else. And I'm looking at it, and, you know, in alphabetical order, you go Baltimore, Lamar Jackson, Cincinnati, Joe Burrow. And I'm like, oh, baby, this is like two of my top three quarterbacks from last year. This is going to be the strongest division. Cleveland. Oh, God. So, you know, seeing that number drop down because of them, yeah, it tanked that whole division by far. Even Aaron Rodgers, kind of stabilized Pittsburgh enough because he had a nice back half of the season last year. So that ranking for the division, they'd be number one if it wasn't for the Browns, plain and simple. If they had Baker Mayfield of, and I don't mean to incite this whole conversation because the Baker Mayfield that the NFL knows now would never have been possible in Cleveland for a number of reasons that I'm not going to delve into. But if they had Baker Mayfield from 2020 and I could throw him in there, they would be far and away the best division in terms of quarterback ranking in the entire NFL. But because of the Browns situation, that is indeed what tanked the entire AFC North. To the rest of the division, I apologize, not on behalf of the Browns, but on behalf of what my own eyeballs tell me and the fact that I have to be honest with everybody.
PFF had the Browns D-line at 7. The Browns obviously released Oboe today, but the 7 part is what I want to stick with because if you have Myles Garrett, and obviously they invested in Mason Graham, like I feel like that should be one of the strengths of the team. And if that's the strength of the team and we're 7th, we got a long way to go, Nick.
Yeah. But honestly, that's going to be the narrative for the Browns this entire season. Their defense is going to be their strength. This is the story that we saw from them 2 years ago, even when they went through all that turmoil at quarterback and ended up with Joe Flacco. That defense was something that they could count on. It was the best defense in the NFL, created a ton of turnovers. It was incredibly effective at limiting opposing yards per game and at opposing points per game until it crumbled in the playoffs. That was the reason they were even in contention. And that is going to be the story for them this year. It's just that as a team overall, I don't think they're as good as that team was at different positions and especially offensively. So get used to this. They do have a long way to go. But I am, for the first time, honestly, in a few years, very encouraged by the state of their offensive line because they aren't just plugging gaps with one-year veterans plus Myles Garrett. Like the investment in Mason Graham, while I know a lot of people were upset that they didn't draft Travis Hunter, it was a smart decision. It was to trade back to 5, take Mason Graham, the best D tackle in the draft, at a position you haven't drafted at effectively in years, and also pick up that extra first-round pick to then address quarterback in the next draft. It was a genius move, as long as you give this regime the runway to execute it. And fans are, unfortunately, I hate to quell the hype and excitement because this is a football town, they are going to have to accept that this is their reality going into the season, and you hope for the best, but the best for them is flirting with 500.
Nick Shook, NFL Network, Cleveland Zone on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, breaking down the Cleveland Browns as we're inside roughly a month until training camp here. So kind of where you're picking up where you're leaving off there, anytime somebody isn't trying to win the Super Bowl, people automatically start using the T word, which is just, it's just not as prevalent now as it was even 5 years ago in the NFL. We have other euphemisms. We've got rebuilding, retooling, restocking the pond, restocking the cabinet. I've used the word auditing. I think the Browns are auditing the 2025 season, meaning if they get 6 games in and they're 5-1 and Joe Flacco's looking great, well, hell, we're going to give this a go. If they're 1-6, I think there's a logical thing that's going to play out as well. How would you describe the Browns' approach to the 2025 season?
Here's another A word, and I actually don't think it's going to stick because I don't think he's going to come out in the draft next year, but it could be abort for Arch as an Arch Manning, but I think he's going to play his last season at Texas and not coming out to the draft next year. But I actually like that idea a lot. Auditing is pretty accurate because it reminds me more of how baseball teams like the Guardians go into every season, which is, hey, we have this collection of talent and it could all come together really nicely and we can be in contention for the division and, make a deep playoff run like they did last year and be buyers at the deadline, or they could be sellers, except in the NFL, they aren't necessarily sellers as much as they are evaluators and thus auditors of what they have on their roster, like you said, and specifically as it pertains to the quarterback position, because they drafted 2 guys. They have Kenny Pickett there. If they're not good, if they're 1-6, they have every reason in the world to try a different quarterback out. How does Dylan Gabriel react to the fire, being thrown into the fire? How does Shedeur Sanders handle it? How does Kenny Pickett handle it? We know what we have in Joe Flacco already. It gives you room to test out what you have and get a better understanding of your roster, which is why I think auditing is a great term to use, because they're exploring the depths of their roster. It's obviously hard to retain fan attention that way, yet in this town, people are often captivated by quarterbacks. So it'd give them reason to watch week by week. But I think that is probably the most effective way to describe how they're going to approach this season. And it may lead to some frustrating Sundays. And eventually they could get to the end of the audit and realize they have nothing, that none of these options are good. But they have those 2 first-round picks that they could use to navigate the draft. And if they're that bad, one of those picks is going to be worth a lot. And by the way, I don't think Jacksonville's going to be all that good either. So I think both those picks are going to be pretty valuable. So it's not a win-win, because if you don't win games, you don't feel like you're winning. But in the long-term plan, it is more ideal than other hopeless franchises have been in the past.
What part of Jacksonville do you not believe in?
I don't know if I believe in Liam Cohen as a head coach.
Duval.
Because he's, Duval. Big where's my hug energy out of that, by the way. I think that, you know, his 1 year of success with Tampa, while it was great, I don't know if that necessarily translates to head coach. I also don't ever see Trevor Lawrence taking the next step, both because he hasn't been able to stay healthy on the field, and he's kind of been the same guy for the last few years. I love what they have in Brian Thomas Jr. I love what they have potentially in Travis Hunter when they use him at receiver. But overall, as a team, I just don't see them achieving at the level that they would need to for that pick to come out of, like, you know, the top half of the first round. So it's like Travis Etienne, it was a trade rumor guy, and apparently they love him, or at least they've said they love him. But when Tank Bigsby finishes with more rushing yards than Etienne last year, that's a problem. There's been a lot of problems with that team. So I just don't think that they're going to end up being all that good, and I think that pick's going to be pretty valuable for the Browns.
Nick, if the Steelers last year were, was it 10-7 and a playoff team, I think 5 games of Justin Fields and 12 games of cooked Russ, I actually think with Aaron Rodgers that they're going to be just as good of a regular season team, if not better, and I can see them actually winning a playoff game this year. I think people are too down on the Steelers. Where are you on them?
I would agree. I don't necessarily subscribe to the notion that they believe they're in that much better of a place offensively this year as opposed to last year. That's been like the big sentiment coming out of Pittsburgh this spring, has been the Steelers feel so much better about their offensive structure entering this season than they did a year ago. And maybe a lot of that has to do with Aaron Rodgers, but it was kind of pitched as we like our receivers and running back situation more. There's a lot of, you know, answers to that we still need when it comes to running back, because they let Najee Harris go. They have Jaylen Warren. They have Caleb Johnson, who's a rookie out of Iowa. DK Metcalf, you'd think is an upgrade, but DK's last couple of years in Seattle, all he was like a go route guy. And they, you know, they didn't have a lot of explosive plays last year. I think they had 2 touchdowns of 30 plus yards through the air last year, which obviously was a microcosm of their offense and everything else. But like trading for a guy just to get big play touchdowns is kind of short-sighted, and trading George Pickens too. I understand why they did it. They had to maximize the value when they still could, but I don't necessarily feel all that much better about a receiving core with DK Metcalf, Calvin Austin in year 2 of Roman Wilson, who was one of my favorite guys coming out of the draft, but essentially had an ineffective, if not irrelevant, rookie season because he got hurt in camp. I'm not feeling that much more emboldened by what they have offensively. Yet, I do believe that what you said is true, that if they are who they were last year, generally speaking, and you add Aaron Rodgers into that mix, and he plays like he did in the back half of last season, and he plays without the pressure of having to prop up a mediocre franchise like he had to do with the Jets, the Steelers are the model of consistency. Mike Tomlin is a coach that nobody questions at this point. He's got all this, you know, a very lengthy resume. You can't question him. If all that comes together and the defense is effective, I think they'll be, just as good as they were last year, if not better. And I think that the whole reason they went after Aaron Rodgers is to do exactly what you just said, which is win a playoff game. Yes, it is a 1 year thing. There is no plan beyond this year, but no team needs a playoff win more to wash the stink off of them than the Pittsburgh Steelers and Mike Tomlin right now. And if that is the goal, obviously, you know, winning a Super Bowl is everybody's goal, but if that is the real goal, I think they will achieve that this year. And that's about their ceiling.
Nick, great stuff, buddy. In 30 seconds, should the Cavs run it back?
Yes, but trade Isaac Okoro. Not because I hate him, but because he hasn't developed as a shooter and you have a better version of him in DeAndre Hunter. Figure out what you can get for him.
And do you also hate him?
No, I love him. You know, the guy does Pilates. Did you know that? Good guy.
I mean, that's how I judge my NBA players. Follow this man on Twitter, at TheNickShook. Nick, you're killing it, buddy. We appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Love you guys. Appreciate it.
And then we gotta love you guys. We love you too, buddy. Like, not enough guests when they sign off are like, love you guys. Hey, anytime, guys. We get a lot of that. We get a, hey, thanks for having me. You guys are good guys. I love you guys.
Yeah, Pablo yesterday gave us an anytime. If it was a love you guys, we would have felt much better about it.
Well, anytime. I'll take an anytime.
Anytime's nice.
I can send that to him in audio form and say, you said anytime. Right? Put a little pressure on him. Love you guys. I can get anything I want. Nick Shook on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. NFL Network. Great stuff with him. We'll react to what he had to say about the Browns. And we do have to get into the what does it all mean with the Cleveland Browns in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. There's really 2 schools of thought here. Kenny Pickett is going to be the week 1 starter, or Kenny Pickett won't be in Cleveland. Right now, 63% of about 250 voters saying Kenny will be cut or traded before week one, with just under 37% saying he starts week one. So Nick Shook in the camp of he's going to start week one.
I just think there's just so much smoke around it. I failed to believe that Kenny Pickett will be the guy week one. And if it does happen, it's just because Stefanski wants to go ahead and put the cape on and try to save the day as far as his career is concerned.
I think the thing that has me, there's not too many, you and I are both pretty topic positive, meaning we'll give any topic a go.
Yeah, we definitely don't just, there's a lot of different hosts that they pick and choose, and they'll be like, I don't want to talk about that. Like, that's not going to come up on the radar. And that sometimes that's fine, right?
Yeah.
But also, I tell this to people all the time. Like, we don't, although we have things we are interested in a 5-hour show, ultimately, you guys drive the bus.
Yeah.
If you guys are interested in it, we discuss it. Like, that's where I think a lot of people get these things confused.
And I just think, but there is one topic right now that immediately eye roll for me. Anytime somebody says they're going to carry four quarterbacks, my eyes almost get stuck to one side of my face. Because it just doesn't make any damn sense. None of these quarterbacks are worth that. Maybe the rookies, because you drafted them, and, you know, with young quarterbacks, just give them time. But, like, if Kenny can't do it, he can't do it. Like, it's not worth it. Not worth recouping, oh, you lost a fifth-round pick. Well, them's the breaks. It's a fifth-round pick. Well, you tried it. It didn't work. Move on.
If Kenny can't beat out Joe, too, is the other side of this, right? Like, if Kenny can't beat out Joe or if Joe can't beat out Kenny, whichever one of that is, I don't really need them on the team, do I? Why would I need them on the team?
And listen, the Browns might be thinking, well, we'll carry three quarterbacks. Maybe we'll find a way to hide Shador somewhere. Maybe that's some of this. He's a developmental quarterback noise that we're hearing coming out.
Yeah.
As a way to try and set the. Don't do it. No, you don't need to. If Joe Flacco can't get it done this year, there's no need to then go to Kenny Pickett. Nope. Pull.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Pull the e-brake, go right to the rookies, or keep Joe in there and just ride the thing in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to, like, you don't need a bat when you're, if Kenny can't beat Joe out, this is not the same thing if the rookies can't beat Joe out. If Kenny can't beat the rookies out, if Kenny can't beat the Joe Flacco out for the job, it's not like going to him 7 weeks in, 8 weeks in is suddenly going to change your damn fortunes.
No, and I actually even think that that's why some people bring up like a mystery quarterback in the back end of the season to come in and a guy we hadn't even yet thought of, and that's where you get in that territory.
Yeah, you don't want to do the mystery quarterback thing because there's a guy on the roster who might be ready to play at that point, and none of us want to see him here ever again.
Maybe that's why we go so hard with the mystery quarterback is because we're just like anybody but Deshaun at that point.
Because Bruce Gradkowski coming out of retirement would be better than that, but. The big, I don't know if we're going to say a big move, but the Browns did release Obo Okoronkwo today. And I actually think it's a sign. Like, you just never can have enough edge rushers. This is something we talked about earlier. I think it's probably a strong statement that they're pretty confident where their edge rushing room is, though.
What I like about it is the same reason why I like the idea that you get the young quarterbacks a lot of action and a lot of work is that they're recognizing in this season, they have to find out the guys that can be there for years to come. And in order to do that, Isaiah McGuire looked awesome at parts of last year. Like, let's get Alex Wright as many opportunities as we can. And what was Obo really doing for you?
I would have preferred that we did this right before cutdown. Because, like, now you're post June 1.
Give him a chance, obviously, to find another team, or give him the best chance to find another team.
I mean, it's.
But that's
it's
just a professional courtesy thing.
It's the middle of July. Or, sorry, so it's the middle of June. Like, you're not necessarily setting him up for success. And if that was the case, by the way, why not cut him June 3rd?
No, I'm saying I'm adding to your point.
Oh, okay.
Like, they didn't give him enough of a chance. Like, this is not like it's not a if you're looking out for Obo, you do this a while back. Now, I know there is something to the idea of the amount of people you can have a post June 1st designation to while doing it before June 1st. But even still, it's June 26th, as you said.
So There is a part of me that's like, I rather would have just held on to him through cutdown. Because listen, the same principle applies with Pickett as it does Okoronkwo, which is if you're here trying to get a pick for Kenny, which is what, I mean, Florio said it yesterday on the morning show. He thinks that's why Kenny Pickett's still here.
Yeah.
Is that they're going to try and bilk a draft pick out of somebody. Yeah, they also need edge rushers at the beginning of the season as well. I'm not going to say it works, but at least give yourself a chance to see if anybody gets hurt and there's a spot for Obo.
Yeah, no question. Now, again, we dove into it, and I mean, really, his name, just even going through last year, just did not pop up on the broadcast often enough, and it just was one of those scenarios where he didn't seem like he was around a lot of plays. And yeah, his advanced numbers stink.
I just think
they were really bad.
I just think it's interesting that, and I know we had Ashley Bastock on this week, who thinks, you know, Alex Wright's in this competition.
Yeah,
Shryan Trinkus in this as well. I think it's McGuire's job to lose.
I think McGuire's very, very good.
Yeah,
I thought he was awesome at parts of last year.
Here's the thing: I start to worry about sample size, but the reality is, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
If he continues to do everything he needs to in the preseason and in camp. Give him the shot. The worst thing that happens is you have an MJ Emerson situation where a guy plays himself out of a future contract.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the worst case thing. And I think Isaiah might have the best chance to glow up Andrew Berry's draft resume of anybody else he's drafted before the season.
Yeah, and that's part of the idea, though. Like, let's give the reps to those guys. I mean, Obo's 30 years old at this point. Like, I mean, it's just, it's you know, you know what you're getting
there. Dead.
Basically, in NFL terms, he might as well be. Did you see that we have some news from Field Yates briefly, or as long as you want? Doesn't really matter.
Mm.
Ravens kicker Justin Tucker suspended the first 10 games of the 2025 regular season. I should say former Ravens kicker.
Couldn't go 11 games?
Yeah, like an eye for an eye.
Yeah.
You want to match the Deshaun suspension?
I think so. If you're going to go 10 games, what's one more game?
That is odd. Why did they go 10, but then for Deshaun got 11, and then Tucker gets 10? There was a statement made within that. Like, it's funny that you made it kind of like a joke to begin with in that, but they're you know how the NFL works.
Yep.
There's a statement made there.
Yeah, I think the extra game might have been for the contract. Just as a reminder, by the way, Browns fans, back half of the season, when you see the Ravens, if he is still their kicker, which he probably won't be because they drafted again.
Yeah, he's a free agent.
Oh, that's right. If you do see him at all this year, remember, what's that about throwing rocks, glass houses?
But
you own a Deshaun Watson jersey, you probably shouldn't be taking shots on Twitter at Justin Tucker.
You tell me. Maybe you saw it different, and maybe it was different. I'm not sure. But I feel like Browns fans did a good job in that regard. I don't feel like... And there's always bad apples out of every group.
I mean, it's the same thing of, like, Steelers fans...
I mean,
wearing Roethlisberger jerseys and then making comments about Deshaun.
We didn't even...
We're all bad. It's all dirty pool.
Okay, but we didn't even do like a Justin Tucker, how dare you type segment or anything like that. Or we didn't even like dive into it in the slightest bit. And I think a lot of that was because we didn't want to be the people that was glass houses, as you say.
216-474.
Maybe we're just tired from the Deshaun discussion of it all, too. I don't know.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. No, the Deshaun fatigue in town, absolutely... I don't want to say shaded, but it definitely drove some of the conversation about that, because if I came out and said, oh, how could you do that? If I went the high road, like let's say Jason Lockenfora did. Let's say Jason did that for like 2 years of just saying heinous things about Deshaun Watson.
Not because Jason, of, not
and,
ever.
And now still stand for Justin Tucker. That'd be a bad look.
Right? Is he standing for Justin Tucker now?
I think he didn't. Well... I don't know if he still is.
Because he went really hard after Deshaun.
He did. You were not wrong on that.
I still have some certain, like, just people's names. Like, when I hear Tony Busby, I have flashbacks. Like, Judge Sue Robinson, I have flashbacks. These people that we just associate with the time of our life where we spend way too much time discussing that. The whole everything associated with it.
Never again. Can we just all agree on that? If the Browns learn nothing else... from that lesson. And it's not, listen, guys are going to be falsely accused of stuff. There's going to be things where there's a lot of ambiguity on stuff. Totally understand it. But can we just, if there's ever a time to draft or trade for somebody with 20 plus civil lawsuits for some level of sexual assault, can we just all say no together? Can we just do that for the good? Because I think, I haven't really said this on air. The Deshaun thing was going to be wildly incendiary if he failed or passed, no matter what. you add the other stuff, it has fractured Browns fandom. And I mean, like, even within the Browns community, how Browns fans talk to each other in a way that I never could have seen happening, in a way that is, I mean, it's so much worse than the Baker Wars or the Sashi Wars.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it broke a lot of people's spirits.
Yes.
We're still trying to recover from it. And in an odd way, a 3-win season, but us knowing that no Deshaun is going to be relevant this year is kind of like a, okay, we'll take it. Because it was so bad for the previous 3 years.
But I mean, I think
that's why I talk about us not having a lot of fun, though. So Flacco 2 years ago, you got a 5-week stretch where the Browns were legitimately fun. But it was a 5-week stretch. The previous 3 years, you've had 5 weeks of being like, this is awesome. It's fun to be a fan again. And that's it. Like, Browns fans have been on the short end of it now.
And we're really just not safe until Deshaun's not under contract.
Yeah.
Like, until he'll be on the dead cap for the rest of the decade. That's fine. But until he's no longer a threat to actually step on the field, which he is on to some degree, could be 1%, could be 50%. He is on some degree until he is no longer physically under contract with the team. So we got that Justin Tucker news.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that came down.
I mean, in fairness, he was really bad last year, so I don't think anyone's going to take a chance on that one anyways.
I'm curious to find out because you know how this works with kickers in week 10, week 11, week 12 of the season when they all of a sudden, if you need one, how desperate teams get.
If Dustin Hopkins flames out.
I thought of it in my head, but I was like, I don't even want to poke the bear there.
Don't you dare.
I don't even want to poke the bear in going down that road of even having the convo.
This has to be said about ESPN in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. It has to be said ESPN has ruined their NBA draft coverage.
Okay, I had the Guardians on the main TV, and then I had ESPN on the second TV. I started off with the ABC version of it all,
mm-hmm.
and then I switched to the ESPN version and realized that was a mistake.
I actually like Shams Charania, who's just full heel turn right now because he is just carrying water for a lot of teams that did dumb things. I saw him defending the Pelicans decision. I saw him polishing basically on the back end the Luka trade.
How did he defend the Pelicans decision?
Oh, he basically said, well, what if Derek Queen becomes a superstar?
That was one of the dumbest things I've seen.
It is. But there was just one, we continue to do the thing of putting on a hat and announcing a team that does not, that player's already been traded from. And that is a league technicality that should just be cleaned up for TV. It just should be.
Yeah, I saw Scott Van Pelt railing about that last night.
So that stinks. The panel that they had, which was Bobby Marks, Andrea Carter, I can't remember who, Malika.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
And Kendrick Perkins. Guys, no Bob Myers, no, former college coach, huge NBA draft. Why am I blanking on him? None of their NBA draft analysts. And oh, by the way, the one they did use was Jonathan Givony, who every time they put him on the TV looked like a hostage. Every time they went to him, he would just blink for a couple minutes and then start talking. And worst of all, like, I don't need the broadcasting crew constantly telling me, you just know how much it means for them. It was a Sergio Dip moment all night.
Yeah.
He's having the time. Look, they're crying. Like, the whole point of the NBA draft is that there is a huge plethora of stories to be told. And guys, I don't need to see every mom crying. That's a great, joyous moment. The mom should cry. Danny Wolf's brother just bawling on TV. It's like, guys, this isn't the Lifetime channel.
Yeah.
You can throw in a couple funny stories. You can throw in a couple interesting stories. But if all you're going to do is try some Tom Rinaldi tear-jerking piece –
Well, and so that's what the NFL got in trouble with so many years ago.
Flat.
Remember the NFL? That was like, it was a big joke on the internet for really the past couple seasons, is that every time it was just, they would just find the sappiest and saddest story related to these players. And the NFL actually made a concerted effort not to do that this last year and not to bring out the tear jerking stories and just kind of focus on the football a little bit more. And I thought it paid off for them in a big way.
And by the way, you can still do those stories in moderation.
Well, that's it. It's just not every person that has one of these stories has to have their story told.
Because it, and it, well, in the end, it just does demean the overall thing. Like, there are, like, Vijay Edgecombe talking about his family lived off the generator because they didn't have power. That's a powerful story.
Yeah.
Like, that is a story that deserves to be told.
There were definitely, and I don't want to diminish anyone's stories or anything like that, but in looking for the Carter Bryant, did he kiss or not kiss his sister video that was just not heard around the world. It was just heard in the Wilson household.
Because he kissed his sister, and then people just put it on the DL.
People were, like, talking about the idea that he is the grandchild of two deaf parents.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, so that's, listen, there's something there. I know there's something there, but does that have to be something that is in the broadcast? Like, do we have to, did he overcome a ton because he had two deaf grandparents? Is that the insinuation there?
Here's the other thing. I really like Monica McNutt. I actually think that she's one of their better basketball analysts. I don't know if she was not prepared last night or if just the preparation wasn't good preparation.
Okay.
So how do you feel? Hey, your sibling, what's it like?
So wait, where were you on this? Were you ABC broadcast or were you ESPN? I'm getting very confused. You're throwing different.
I'm ESPN.
Okay, because I thought Monica was just only on the ABC. Maybe she was on the ESPN as well?
All I was watching was ESPN, and that's where I saw her work at.
So I did both. I danced around at both, but I like that they gave you two different presentations and you had two different set of announcers and announcing crews to kind of choose your battle. Now, maybe neither one of them is ultimately what you like, but I like Kevin Negandhi. So I was like, Kevin Negandhi on ABC just kind of works for me. Did they balance it out with Stephen A. Smith? Well, that doesn't really do as much for me, but at least he gives opinions.
So I think this was an extension of ESPN's NBA coverage is just abysmal. But the one thing you could count on them to get right in, and when I say previous years, I mean like 5 years ago, 10 years ago.
Well, I mean, their draft coverage used to just be Bill Simmons telling everyone why they're wrong, which I enjoyed greatly.
Well, okay, but Bill,
it was
actually,
Bill up there, is he just eviscerated people for their dumb NBA opinions, and I loved it.
But like you had, and I'm it's really bugging me. I can't think of the coach, the former coach. He's got. It's really good. But he started out covering Euro prospects and then just transitioned over to all NBA prospects.
Still, Fran Fraschilla.
Yes, Fran is incredible. Like, he's one of the best NBA analysts going. He's also incredible on radio. He's one of the best analysts you got going.
Yeah.
He's nowhere to be found.
No, I mean.
And no offense to Bobby Marks, he's not a scout.
Well, Jay Billis has a role at the table and a seat at the table, though. Jay Billis knows what he's talking about, and he does a lot with the college basketball players.
But even with Jay,
he's not a scout necessarily.
But even with Jay, like, you need a true scout to bounce off of instead of Kendrick Perkins, who, guys, I mean, again, there's a time and place for Kendrick. There really is. I'm not here to suggest he doesn't belong in the NBA media.
Yeah,
he doesn't belong on game coverage. He doesn't belong on NBA draft coverage. He doesn't know the prospects. He doesn't. Listen to him. He does not know who the hell these guys are. Same thing with Stephen A. God bless him. When's the last time Stephen A. watched college basketball?
Well, Stephen A. is not doing, you know, weeks on weeks of preparation for this event. There's no way he's doing that.
And listen, Stephen A. deserves. He's
very plugged in the NBA.
He is a ratings juggernaut. I understand why Stephen A. is paid the money he is. I'm not one of the people in this business that is wildly jealous of Stephen A. for that, but he doesn't have to be on everything. He really doesn't, because at some point you diminish his value by showing he doesn't know diddly squat about what he's talking about when it comes to the NBA draft.
Yeah, but ESPN, that's what they do. They put everyone on everything, and they just make you work a ton of hours. That's their deal.
I get it, but at some point
it doesn't make us any better, or it doesn't make us more enjoyable. I'm not disagreeing there.
But at some point, you have to think about, like, do we care about this guy basically getting exposed, which is what happens when Stephen A's in the wrong context. Same thing with Kendrick Perkins. But I don't even know if I'm going to watch the NBA draft next year, I might just watch it on my phone. Unless the Cavs get a top 10 pick somehow, I just don't know.
I mean, do what
it,
I did.
It was that bad.
Have the Guardians on the main screen and then just kind of put the... I mean, the draft was the secondary thing for me last night. I was texting with buddies about different picks. I watched a little bit. Nick Wright was doing a live draft recap thing. Like, as it was going, I watched a little bit of that. And that's all I needed. It was fine. Actually, you might like that space more. Maybe not Nick Wright, because I like Nick more than you do. But like, find one of those NBA YouTube guys that like they do like two or three of them, and they just do their own little round table, and they just kind of chop it up. The people that are obsessed with it, yeah, maybe that's your new option.
Should be noted, the Guardians just finished off a 6-0 loss, so they dropped the series to Toronto.
Yeah, what sucks about the back-to-back games? Yeah, what sucks about this is obviously there's a lot, but the back-to-back games where you have, you have your two guys. You have Gavin and then into Bibee. And to have it end the series this way, less than ideal. Also, what the hell was Bo Naylor doing on that one play? I'm sure you've seen Toronto, and they put out like the Blue Jays' main Twitter account. They had the search for a QB1 in Cleveland. Just a cheap shot, it was what it was.
That's a good cheap shot, though, as cheap shots go.
And it's fine, but like...
I know, because I'm the king of cheap shots.
In that moment, though, Bo Naylor is like, he's picking dandelions. I don't know what's going on. They try to throw the ball home, and Bo is sitting there looking at like dirt on his shoes, paying no attention to the actual game. What the hell happened there?
And if you actually look at it, Manzardo throws a pretty good throw.
It's a pretty good throw. There's supposed to be a bang play at the plate here.
Would have given him a shot there.
Bo, you fell asleep. Like I should have seen Vogt just take him out of the game immediately for that. There's got to be something attached to this.
Here's the problem. Rodriguez was tiptoeing through the tulips the other day too.
That's
on two different plays,
as I pointed out. Yeah,
and it just
we're seeing a lot of this.
They're not where they need to be. And I'm not trying to hammer them because. They're a young team. They got time to figure it out. Blah, 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 all that stuff. But, like, they're not playing the same kind of heads-up baseball they have. They're not playing good defensive baseball.
I mean, the offense clearly stinks. They want to know what's wrong. Play back this play right here. That's all you need to see, Nick.
Well, because this kind of stuff, there's seven of these things every game.
It seems like it really does. It seems like in every single game, I got somebody that's not hustling. I got somebody that's not paying attention. I got some little league play. I got this. I got that. It's really hit a low point. And then, I mean, geez, Bo, pay attention to the game.
And I know it's tough when you've gone through a tough stretch to continue to play at the level, with the level of alertness and all this. But like Stephen Vogt already said going into game one of this, where they lost in a kind of inexplicable fashion, they said they were sluggish.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a sluggish team again today. And I just, at some point, you're not just having a bad day. You're just a sluggish team, and that doesn't lead to winning.
No, and these are the type of things that you can, in many ways. Listen, there's some things you can and cannot put on a manager. But, like, at this point, who else am I supposed to put this on? Like, Vogt, get your act together here. Get these guys on the same page.
216-474-0092. Guardians.
I almost wanted, sorry to cut you off here for a second, but I wanted to finish this. I almost wanted to see, like, when Bobby Cox back in the day benched Andrew Jones for just being lazy on a routine fly ball, and he's kind of wally-gagged into it and watched it drop ahead. I almost wanted to see something like that. Like, show these players that there has to be some repercussion for just not paying attention to the game.
All right, what point are you punishing fans for having to watch Austin Hedges swing the bat, though? Counterpoint. Just a quick counterpoint.
I get it, but like Bo's got to, I mean, geez, more people in the stands are watching what's happening than Bo watching what happened. It's ridiculous.
So the Guardians did lose after winning the previous two series. They're back to losing series. Where are we with the Guardians? What one word would you use to describe your state of Guardians feelings? We're not quite apathetic, but it sure feels like the Guardians are apathetic. And the Guardians did make a huge mistake that we have to talk about next on 92.3 The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.